You could open your Bibles again today to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll start reading with the 6th verse. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now I believe Moffat's translation makes that even clearer than the King James. Moffat's translation reads the first verse and then the last verse of this section that we read. Paul said, I did the planting. Well, King James said, I have planted. What's the difference? I did the planting. Apollos did the watering, but it was God that made the seed to grow. I like that, don't you? You know, God gave the increase. That's saying the same thing. But it was God that made the seed to grow. Then instead of saying you are God's husbandry, that's a little bit blind to us, you know, today. Moffat's translation said, ye are God's field to be planted. You're God's field. Another translation said that ye are God's garden. Another translation said ye are God's farm. Well, that's all saying the same thing, you see, because that's where you plant seed. And that's what he's talking about is planted, you know, in the garden, on the farm, in the field. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we were talking yesterday, and we'll talk today, about God's garden, or how to get God's promises fulfilled. Now, actually, this lesson is taken from one of the chapters in Christ the Healer. If you have the book Christ the Healer, you'll have the outline there of this. It's very good, and it'll bless you. Praise God. God's garden is the title of the chapter, or how to get God's promises fulfilled. And so there are several things to notice. We noticed yesterday about the planting of the seed. I have planted, or I did plant. Now, we know, of course, that Jesus gave us a parable, as is recorded in Matthew 13, in Mark 4, and in Luke 8, about the sower, you know, the parable of the sower that went forth to sow. And he sent forth a sower to sow, and we know that the seed that he sowed is the Word of God. It says so there in Luke 8:11. The seed is the Word of God. Mark just put it this way, the seed is the Word. The seed is the Word. Well, that seed, so the illustration that Jesus is using is, you know, it's like the sower went forth to sow, and some seed fell by the wayside, and so on and on. Some fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And so he's using a natural human term to explain a spiritual truth about sowing the seed of the Word of God. He's saying that just like sowing seed in the natural, in the field or in the garden or on the farm, that the individual in whose heart the seed is sown, or God's field, and the seed that's sown there is the Word, and that that Word will bring forth fruit. Now, seed is powerless unless it's planted. Now, that can readily see then why the Word of God doesn't do much for some people's lives. You know, you could have a whole barn full of seed, or a handful of seed, or whatever. If you don't plant it, you're not going to reap any crop. See, by the same token, you say, well, I've got a Bible at home. How many of you folks have a Bible at home with dust on it? Oh, it's pretty dark. That's the problem a lot of times, isn't it? I said, that's the problem a lot of times, isn't it? Amen. And I think that some people think just because, you know, they've got a Bible, that's sort of going to bring them good luck. That's about the extent of their thinking and their faith, you know. Oh, I wouldn't be without one. You know, I've heard people say things like that. Now, if it ever affected them, then you couldn't tell it. If they ever read it, you couldn't tell it. But you see, friends, seed and the word, let's put it this way, the seed of the word, or the word which is seed, is powerless unless it's planted. I think that's what we want a lot of time. We want the results. We want to reap the harvest without any planting. Now, the seed can be planted in our hearts in two ways. The preacher, by preaching the word, can plant that seed, you know, if our hearts are open. You understand that. Or you can plant the seed by reading and feeding on the word of God for yourself. So, the seed is powerless unless it is planted. Another tremendous thought that we brought out was that all of God's wonderful works are potentially in the seed. That's where it is. Praise God. That's where it is. The word is the seed. The planting of the seed, which is the word of God. Then number two, we talked about the possibilities of the seed. You see, in the seed, there are tremendous possibilities. The seed is the word. The seed is the word of God. Now, that's why it should be said of everyone, as it was at the beginning, they gladly received the word. They gladly received the word. Only the imperishable word, and God's word is imperishable. It's called also incorruptible. That's another way of saying the same thing. You know, Peter said there in his first epistle, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Now notice he said, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Incorruptible seed. Even the word of God. So the word of God is incorruptible seed, or saying another way, is imperishable seed. And only the imperishable seed can bring about imperishable results. Hallelujah. That's enough just to stop and have a camp meeting on, isn't it? Hallelujah. And then again, another thought that we brought out, we're just hitting a few high spots here today. The Bible said, you remember, every seed bringeth forth after its kind. Every seed bringeth forth after its kind. Well, you can see what the seed of the Word of God will do. Now, when you think about that, I'm reminded of another scripture concerning the Word of God, bearing in mind that the seed is the Word of God. Let's turn back here for a moment to Isaiah. And praise God, just rejoice and shout a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see what God said about His Word. Here in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, you are keeping in mind, bearing in mind that His Word, the Word of God, is the seed. Well, let's just start reading with the 8th verse here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. You see, God's Word gives us God's thoughts. And God's Word portrays to us God's ways. So actually, in the place of thoughts and in the place of ways, in that verse you could put word or word of God there, couldn't you? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher in your ways and my thoughts in your thoughts. As the rain, now here's what I want you to get now, these next two verses. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Whoa, glory to God. If you've got any shout in you, now's the time to get it out. Praise God. If you can't shout about that, you haven't got any business shouting about anything. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So you see, every seed bringeth forth after its kind. Remember, God said that way back there in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, every seed. You see, each promise, and you see, the Word of God is also called promise. You remember Peter there in 2 Peter 1:4 said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. He's talking about the Word of God, isn't he? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these exceeding great and precious promises, we might be made partakers of the divine nature. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Praise God. If that don't set something dancing on the inside of you, they won't anything. Amen. So each promise, now another way you could say that, each scripture, or you could say each provision of the Word of God, by the blessing promise reveals the nature of the harvest that the seed will produce. That's so important, I want to say it again. Each promise, by the blessing promise, reveals the nature of the harvest the seed will produce. Now, for instance, you want the harvest of health in your life, physical health. Physical healing. Is that right? That's what you want. That's, you know, you want other things too, but in other words, that's the main harvest maybe you're looking for right now. Well, now, remember the scriptures that we've looked at so many times here? We'll look at it again. Proverbs 4, 20, 21, 22. My son, attend to my word. Incline to thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Verse 22 is the harvest. For they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and they, my words, are health to all their flesh. There's the harvest. Each promise, as I said, by the blessing promise, reveals the nature of the harvest the seed will produce. Let that soak in on you a little bit. Well, don't let that get away from you just because you didn't get it. Meditate on it. Hallelujah. True Christianity is a system of promises fulfilled. Hallelujah. All right, now another thought that we brought out. Here's the outline, you see. The planting of the seed. The possibilities of the seed. The watering of the seed. Here's your outline. The watering of the seed. I have planted, or I did the planting, Apollos did the watering. Now all the seed and all the plants in God's garden needs watering. Just like seed and plants in your garden, anybody else's garden, needs watering. And without it, they're not going to grow, not going to produce anything. There's not going to be any harvest. Jesus said of the stony ground upon which the seed fell that it had no root. That's the reason it didn't have any root. It's stony ground. There's no moisture in the ground. We need to realize that if the seed is to grow, the ground must be kept moist. And it's because of the lack of constant watering that many of God's plants are withering instead of growing. A garden is a place for growth, isn't it? Remember Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 1:3 and said, your faith groweth exceedingly. Your faith groweth. A garden, ye are God's garden, we read over here in Corinthians. To the Thessalonians, he's using different words, but he's saying the same thing. Your faith groweth exceedingly. In other words, he's saying your garden's growing. Praise God. Faith's growing. Love's growing. Paul speaks about growing in grace. Well, we need to realize that in their day in which he wrote these letters to the church at Corinth, they didn't have printing presses in those days, you know. Folks didn't have a Bible in their hand to read. The Old Testament had been written upon scrolls, and in the synagogues on the Sabbath day, you know, they read from them. That's when Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, you see. But Paul came along and planted the seed,
The seed that's already planted there, the only way that they could, the seed could be planted in those days was by the preaching of somebody to them. Like I said, you can plant the seed in your own heart by reading, meditating, feeding on God's Word and getting that Word in you. Then right on the other hand, you see the preacher, the teacher comes along, preaches and teaches the Word. He plants the seed. Just like this, if you had a garden at your house, you know, in the backyard. Well, you could plant the garden yourself. You get somebody else to plant it. But it has to be planted. That's the thing. Paul just said, I did the planting. In your case, I was the one that did the planting. And then secondly, it has to be watered. If that garden is planted and never watered, you're not going to produce much, are you? Nothing, really. Well, you could water your own garden if you had one, or else you could get somebody to water it. You know, we had a little strip out there by our house, by the side of our house, not very big, planted a few tomatoes. But that had to be watered. And we had some lovely tomatoes and other things, just great. And those just have a flavor that you don't get otherwise, you know. Praise God. But it had to be watered. Because you're not going to have any harvest, don't care if the plant is there, without the watering, there is no harvest. Isn't that right? Amen. All right. Now, I did the planting and Apollos did the watering. Like I said, they couldn't very well. Well, they could keep feeding on maybe what, think about what Paul preached. But, you know, you couldn't get everything that a man would say. But Apollos came along, preached the same truth, and kept watering that same truth. We talked about how did David water the Word. We looked into the 176 verses of the 119th Psalm. And every single verse, that's most amazing, every single verse shows David's attitude toward the Word of God. In every verse, something is said or inferred concerning the Word of God, the statutes of God, the commandments of God, in every verse. It's really amazing. David, you can see his attitude toward the Word of God. Our attitude toward the Word of God should be the same as David's. In this 119th Psalm, you know, David promised, I will keep thy statutes. I'll keep thy word, in other words. And we read many of those verses and then read many statements, but there's a few of them that I want to reiterate that's just real good. Thy word have I hid in my heart, David said. Now, that sort of reminds you of that verse there in Proverbs. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now, notice, how did he keep them in his heart? What does he mean? All right, another statement he made. I will meditate. I will meditate in thy precepts. Here's another statement that he made. I will delight myself in thy statutes. That means in thy word. I will delight myself. Here's another statement he made. I will not forget thy word. Here's another statement very similar to what he made. Again, he said, I delight in thy commandments. That's another way of saying I delight in thy word. Here's another statement he made. The law of thy mouth. He's talking about God's mouth. The law of, in other words, we could put it like the word of God is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Now, friends, when your attitude toward the word is like that, you're going to get what the word promises. You're going to keep watering the Word by meditating on it and thinking on it. Praise God forevermore. And just keep refreshing that Word on your mind and memory and spirit. Hallelujah. Don't you like that? The law of thy mouth. In other words, we could paraphrase like that. The Word of God is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Again, he made this statement. Thy law is my delight. What are you delighting yourself in? Thy word, in other words, is my delight. He went on to say, and we've used this verse many, many times. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Or the margin said is established. Forever, thy word. Now, can you see why David was so successful? You see the part the Word of God had in his life? Not only that, but his attitude toward that Word. He said, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." That means our generation too. What does he mean, thy faithfulness? His faithfulness to keep his Word is unto all generations. That's our generation too, isn't it? Hallelujah. Now here's another statement. O Lord, how I love thy law. Or we could paraphrase it. O Lord, how I love thy word. It is my meditation all the day. What are you thinking on? Well, some people said, I'm troubled. I know they come to me. Troubled with evil thoughts. Well, why don't you change your thoughts then? You don't have to think like that. Why don't you start meditating, thinking on God's Word? Well, I don't know what it said. Well, find out what it said. Get some scriptures and promises that cover your case. In the case of healing, we got a whole cassette full. All the scriptures on healing in the Bible. Well, don't just listen to me, read them. But get the cassette and listen to it, and then afterwards lie there or sit there or whatever and shut your eyes and meditate on what you heard and say them over and over again yourself. I'll plant the seed and you water it and you watch it grow. Hallelujah to Jesus. It is my meditation all the day. Now listen to this. See if this don't whet your appetite. Here's what David's saying about the Word of God. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, when the Word of God becomes that real to your spirit, friends, you're going to get somewhere. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Now, you'll find that in the 119th Psalm. Read through there and you'll find that. I'm just picking out these particular statements. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Sweeter than honey. See, he's talking about spiritually here when he said to my taste. He's talking about spiritual taste because he said it's sweeter than honey to my mouth. Glory. Now, look at this. We pulled this verse out and used it for years. And it's good. It's good. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Are you walking in darkness? Well, it's because you're not walking in the Word then. If you got into darkness, it's because you left the Word. Yeah, we're trying to get the benefits through prayer, and we're certainly not belittling prayer, but we try to get the benefits through prayer that only the Word will bring. Amen. Get back the light. What do you mean get back the light? Get in the Word. Thy Word is a light. Again, the psalmist in another place said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Well, now here's another statement that David made. I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Or I will have respect unto thy word. There's another secret. He talks about delighting himself in the word. He talks about having respect for the word. Here's another statement. I love thy commandments above gold. Yea, above fine gold. In other words, I love thy word above gold. Above fine gold. Now notice this statement. I esteem all thy precepts. Notice that. Esteem. Respect. For what? The word of God. Thy word. Thy word. Thy word. Are you getting it? Now notice this statement. My heart standeth in awe at thy word. Respect, esteem, awe at the word of God. Now notice this statement, David. I rejoice at thy word. See, delight, respect, esteem, love, awe. Now rejoice at thy word. As one that findeth great spoil. Oh, glory to God, 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 glory to God. We get to shout about the word, and some saved, spirit-filled people sit around and go, well, I wonder what this young man got. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth a great spoil. Praise God. What if you found of had a shake case with $1 million in it? Nobody ever claimed it. And they said, well, it's just yours. You got it, yours. You wouldn't come around and say, well, I found $1 million. No, boy. It'd be written all over your face. Boy, you just couldn't keep it quiet. Amen. I rejoice. 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 What's he rejoicing about? Because he feels good this morning? No. What's he rejoicing about? Because his mother-in-law left? No. What's he rejoicing about? At thy word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I rejoice at thy word. And you see, the word's the same every day, so you can rejoice every day. Didn't rejoice because you felt like rejoicing. Did you notice that? He didn't say, I rejoice because I feel like rejoicing. Did you notice he didn't say, I rejoice because I'm happy? Did you notice he didn't say, I rejoice because everything's running just the way I wanted it to? I rejoice at thy word. How? What do you mean he rejoiced at his word? As one that findeth great spoil. Oh, glory to God. Now, friends, when you approach the word like that, when you water, that's the way David watered the word. See how he watered God's word in his life? He kept saying these things about the word, remind himself of it. Praise God. I rejoice. No wonder that word had such an effect upon his life. It worked for you. What are you rejoicing about? I don't have anything to rejoice about. Yeah, I've talked to Christians, born again, spirit-filled Christians. Didn't have a thing to say to rejoice about. God blessed them. They got the word of God. See, you know immediately they gave themselves away. But what they said, you know immediately they're walking entirely over in the physical and sense realm. Soulless realm. Motivated by what they see or feel or what happened. You got his word, it's the same every day, it don't ever change. We just got through reading where he rejoiced because forever. Forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled, established in heaven. It don't ever change. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my word shall not pass away. Peter said about the glory of man and so on that it is grass and it withereth and dieth, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. That means it lasts forever. I rejoice. I tell you, when folks feel bad, things don't go right, everything's gone wrong, look like the whole world's caved in on you. If you'll just remember what God's Word said and start rejoicing at His Word as one that's found a great spoil, praise God, you'll rise to the top. You'll rise to the top. Now, all of these statements and many more of them, I've just given you a few samples of them, are in this 119th Psalm. They show us how David watered the word. Now, Paul said the planter and the water are equal. He said they're one. You know, we read that. Watering the seed. Now, what did he mean when he said the planter? You see, He that watereth, he that planteth. See, he don't mean me and Apollos, we're just one. That's not what he means at all. See, he said, I did the planting, and Apollos did the water. No, he said, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Now, what does he mean? The planting and the watering are equal, equally important. One's not more important. Of course, you've got to get the seed planted. The watering is just as important as the planting. That's what he's trying to get over. They're one. That's what he's trying to get over. Now, watering the seed is as necessary as planting it. God can't make the seed grow unless we water it. See, I think a lot of times because the seed has been planted into your heart and your life, somebody came along preaching, you just thought it's going to grow automatically, but you never did anything about watering it. Keep watering that seed. All right, the seed of the truth of God's word on divine healing has come to you. But what have you done about it? Just thought, well, the seed's going to do it. Well, yes, but under certain circumstances. Have you watered the seed that was planted in your heart? What have you done with it? How should you water it? By continuing to meditate and to think upon those scriptures concerning divine healing. But no, what happens? Well, somebody comes. Well, the Bible said that's the seed of the word. These signs of falling and believe, they'll lay hands on the sick. See, that's seed, isn't it? That's in the word, isn't it? Well, they come, hands are laid on them. But you see, they don't water that seed, they'll say. Well, I had hands laid on me, but it didn't work. I guess it's not God's will to heal me. So you see, they didn't water it, so it don't bear any fruit. Well, what should you do? Well, do like I did as a Baptist boy. I went away while the symptoms were still there and said, I'm healed, praise God, I'm well. See, I'm watering the seed. Praise the Lord, according to the word of God, I'm healed. Hallelujah. And overnight, all my symptoms disappeared. But you see, the person went away and said, well, I tried it. They anointed me with oil. They laid hands on me. See, they didn't water the seed. They went away and said, well, it didn't work. So the next day, they're just as sick or worse. And they've been doing it for years, and they're still sick or worse. And they'll be that way next time you see them. Let's water the seed. Are you getting it?
Amen.
Let's water the seed. All right. Now then, here's the next thought in the outline. God makes the seed to grow. Now, King James translation there said, God giveth the increase. The Moffat translation said, God makes the seed to grow. Paul said here, according to Moffat's translation, it is God who made the seed grow. I did the planting, Apollos did the watering. God made the seed grow. You see, he made his promises for this one purpose. He always makes the seed grow. He always makes the seed grow when it's kept in good ground and watered. Now, I want you to notice something. According to the scriptures, not according to our thinking. The growing, I want you to notice, comes after the watering. Now, naturally, the seed has to be planted. You understand that. We understand that. But notice that the growing didn't come just because the seed was planted. The growing came after the watering. I did the planting. Apollos did the watering. God made the seed to grow.
Amen.
Now then, Jesus also said, you remember there back to the parable about the sower, it bringeth forth fruit. The seed that was sown in the good ground brought forth fruit. It always brings forth fruit. But now see, I want you to see something that we don't see. We want to blame it all on God or on somebody else. Let's just get down and know where the Bible is. You see, all of the responsibility of bringing forth fruit has to do not with the sower or not even entirely with the seed, but with the soil and with the watering, or with you. Let's go back over here to Matthew and read again what Jesus said here in giving the parable of the sower and the seed. 13th chapter of Matthew,
13th chapter of Matthew. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell, that means some seed fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. There wasn't any moisture there, you see. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Now listen to that 9th verse. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, do you have ears to hear? Amen. Well, hear then. Amen. All right, now, let's skip down here because Jesus goes on to explain some things. But to his disciples, you see, apart, he answers this. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. That's the 18th verse. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Now, turn over here to this 4th chapter of Mark. And here he records, Mark records, starting in with about the 5th verse, the same story. Or the 3rd verse, Behold, there went out a sower to sow. The 14th verse, in relating the parable to them or telling the meaning of it, he said, The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. Now turn over to the 8th chapter of Luke's gospel. And he's a little bit more explicit yet. Here in the 8th chapter of Luke's gospel, we have it starting with the first verse and reading down through about the 18th verse, the account of this. Now notice the 11th verse. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now I want you to notice something, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke record this incident. Then he goes on to explain about those by the wayside, or they that hear. They heard that word, you see. But see, it didn't get planted. Because the devil, cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved, or be delivered, or be healed, or whatever it is. And they on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Now in that 18th verse he said, Take heed therefore how you hear. Now, I want you to notice. Here's something I want you to get. I want you to notice. That he doesn't, in explaining the parable, he doesn't spend any time at all talking about the sower. That's the planter, the sower. In other words, where Paul said, I planted, he could have said, I sowed, couldn't he? The seed, I sowed. Doesn't say anything more about him. He just talks about the seed and the ground that it fell on, doesn't he? And he takes one statement to talk about the seed. The seed is the word. The seed is the word of God. That's all he says about that. The rest of the time he spends all the time talking about the ground, the field, the garden. You are God's garden. I told you about the fellow last church I pastored, didn't you? He was talking to me one day. He wasn't a member of my church, but he stopped by to talk to me. He came regularly. Said, I'd hate to be in your shoes. Well, I didn't know what he meant. I mean, does he mean literally the shoes I've got on my feet?
That's what he means. Does it mean I hate to be in your position? I hate to be pastoring the church you're pastoring, driving the car you're driving, or what? So I ask him. Oh, no, no, didn't mean that. I'd hate to be a teacher, preacher and a teacher of the Word of God. Why? I said. Mustered up all of the piety, sobriety that he could put into his face and voice. And said, why don't you know? I said, know what? Don't you know? I said, know what? Don't you know that you'll have to give an account unto God for everything that you have taught and teach? I said, yeah. And don't you know that you'll have to give an account unto God for everything you heard me teach? And I want you to know something, my friends. That poor fella, if he had had false teeth, would have spit him out. I mean, he would have lost him. He said, what? Grabbed himself like a, what? Me? Me? Me give an account for what you teach? Yeah, I said, that's exactly right. What? Me? Me give an account for what you teach? I said, that's exactly right, everything you've ever heard me teach. No, I said, I know. I had him cornered. I said, I know. You've sat right there and haven't got a thing I said. I said, I'll tell you. You'll think I'm reading your mind, but I'm not. I'm just telling you facts of the Spirit. I said, you see, you sat right there. You come to church because you know, well, I ought to go to church. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. The Bible said to forsake not to assemble yourself together. But you think, if I don't know, I won't be held accountable, so I'm going to be sure I don't know and hear anything. So it goes in this ear and run out that ear, and nothing ever registered. He said, well, you know, you must be reading my mind. That's exactly what I think. Well, I said, you're wrong. You better start listening now. He said, take heed, how you, because you're going to have to give an account. And I'll prove it to you by the Bible. And I took him to the parable of the sower. I said, you see, you were talking about the sower, and you're responsible. I said, did you notice that Jesus just said the sower went forth to sow, and never mentions him anymore in the whole chapter. Never mentions him anymore. Never says another word about him, does he? Amen. Never mentions him anymore. Never talks about his responsibility or his duty or what he did do or what he didn't do. Or his judgment. Nothing, not another word about him. And he talks very little about the seed other than just telling you what it is. The seed is the Word. The seed is the Word of God. Made one statement and spends all the rest of the time talking about the ground the seed fell on. That fellow said, boy, I better start listening, hadn't I? I said, you sure had. Because you're going to have to give an account for what you've heard that you haven't heard yet. See, folks think, well, Lord, well, that can't be so. Yes, it is. He said right here, if you want to go on reading, Mark said that he said, take heed what you hear. Luke said he said, take heed how you hear. Yeah, you're going to have to give an account for what you heard that you didn't hear. Did you get that? Did you get that? It bringeth forth fruit. That's what God wants the seed to do. That's what the seed's supposed to do, is to reproduce. Isn't it? That's the purpose of the seed, isn't it? Every seed bringeth forth after its kind. What will the Word of God do in your life? It'll do just exactly what God said it'd do. My words are life. Woo, 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 woo. Life. Unto those that find them. And health, my words are. My words are health. My words are medicine. I like that marginal reading. Actually, it says the Hebrew said in the Old Testament written, my words are medicine. Now see, there's a type here for us, you see. Medicine in the natural doesn't work just because you had one dose of medicine. Does it? I said, does it? No, very little benefit. And sometimes you can't even tell the benefits of medicine for 2 or 3 days. You got to get it into your system and get it to work. And I'm talking from the natural standpoint. Well, the same thing's true with God's medicine. It's medicine. Praise God, it's medicine. Just know that. Stay on your medicine. The results will start showing up shortly. Medicine to all their flesh. It bringeth forth fruit. It always brings forth fruit. The seed, that's the purpose of it, is to bring forth fruit. You see, friends, what God has promised belongs to us. The justice of God requires that He make the seed grow when it's planted and watered. Now, you see, if it's not planted and watered, well, He can't make it grow. If it's just planted and not watered, He can't make it grow. But thank God, when that seed is planted and watered, He'll make it grow. He said He would, and the justice of God requires that He make it grow. Paul said, God makes the seed to grow. Remember, John said He's faithful and just. Well, the word just means that God would be unjust to withhold from us what He promises. We have a right to what He's promised us. Hallelujah. It is a 100, not a 50-50 chance, or 40-60, or 80-20, or whatever. It's a 100% fact that God makes every seed grow when it's planted and watered. I believe that God's the best farmer in the universe.
Amen.
He never fails. You're God's farm, one translation said. You're God's farm. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God's promises. Oh, we sing sometimes, standing on the promise. You ever sing that? We used to sing it. We sung it a lot, but we didn't do it much. That's the reason we quit singing it. Standing on the promises. Standing on the promises of God. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, He'll make His word good in us. He'll fulfill that promise. There's a text in the Old Testament that said, God is not a man that He should lie. Has He said it? And shall He not do it? Praise God. Has He declared it? Will He not bring it to pass? Thank God He'll do it. Thank God He'll bring it to pass. Now get that seed planted in you and then keep watering that seed. Hallelujah. By meditating and thinking on that word until it just gets on the inside of you. Praise God. Now like one fellow said, this fellow he's not raised in Pentecostal or full gospel, sir. He knew nothing about the seed of God's word when it come to divine healing. He knew Jesus died for our sins. That's truth. As I said, that's truth too. That's seed too. But that's not all the seed. And so he began to hear it because he got even baptized with the Holy Ghost in his denominational church because his pastor got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Speaking with tongues, began to preach it. The pastor began to preach divine healing and minister to the sick by laying on of hands and anointing with oil. But this man said, you know, that I read all those scriptures that the pastor gave, like Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Isaiah 53, see, that's the word. See, the pastor was planting that word in his sermons and in his teaching. The man couldn't tell. It wouldn't bring forth any fruit in his life. And so he said, Isaiah 53:4, surely hath borne our sickness and carried our diseases, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self by our sins in his own body on the tree, we've been dead since, live under righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. And he's meditating on those scriptures. But it's all in his mind. So there's no crop. There's no fruit. There's no harvest. He needs healing all right in his body. The pastor's planted the seed of divine healing in him. Now, he has great confidence in his pastor. He didn't hear it outside. He probably wouldn't accept it, you see. He immediately wouldn't accept it, and Satan would have come. The fowls are there and stole the seed away, and he would never got it. But he accepted it because it's his pastor that said it. But yet, it's all in his mind. It's not working for him. He don't have any harvest of healing. He don't have any healing. He still needs it in his body. And in his mind, he's quoting these scriptures, you know. He's meditating on them. And he continued. He didn't know about this. I don't guess he'd know if I didn't tell him. I'm just telling you his testimony, what he said. He didn't realize that what he was doing was watering that word that he'd heard. And so after a number of weeks and even months, see, with all of his physical symptoms, he's lying there in bed meditating on these scriptures that he'd heard the pastor. He looked it up for himself. He knows they're in the Word. Meditating on it. And particularly himself took our infirmity. Now, he'd been saying that for days with his head, you know, mentally. Himself. But he still got all of his problems physically. But as he lay there and continued to say that, suddenly he said, the way he described it, sort of like an explosion inside him. See, he kept watering that word that had been sown by meditating on it. Like David declaring, I delight in thy word. I meditate in thy word. I love thy word. I esteem thy word. I have respect unto thy word. Thy word is means more to me, you know, than fine gold. I rejoice in thy word more than he, you know, that findeth a great spoil. He just kept watering that word. Lying there, you know. And he said, I don't know how to explain it. It's like an explosion on the inside of me. Jumped out of bed, praised God, shouting, rejoicing in that word. Forgot all about his symptoms, started looking for him, couldn't find him. Couldn't find him. They're gone. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's what we're talking about. Can you see that?
Amen.
Praise God forever, O Lord. Forever, David said, O Lord, thy word is settled. The margin says is established in heaven. It's not ever going to change. It's the same. Hallelujah. And then he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. Thy word is a light unto my path. Come and walk in the light of the word with us today. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory. I rejoice. I rejoice, David said. I rejoice. I rejoice. Well, you feel like rejoicing? I don't know. I never mentioned his feeling. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. I don't know. But I know what he was rejoicing about. It didn't have anything to do with feelings because he said, I rejoice at thy word. Let's just rejoice at the word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I rejoice, 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 I rejoice at thy word. I like something else that David said. He said, quicken thou me, O Lord, according to thy word. Always brings the word in with everything he said. Quicken thou me, O Lord, according to thy... Quicken means make me full of life. We could say that it would make me full of health. Make me full of healing. Make me full of life. Quicken me according to thy word. Well, he quickened us by his spirit, but it's always according to the word. You see, the spirit makes real in us what the word provides for us. Well, has he provided healing? Yes, yes, thank God he has. He's provided healing for us. And so, therefore, Paul, writing to the saints at Rome in Romans 8:11, said, if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he'll quicken your mortal body, hallelujah, by his Spirit. Glory! 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 Hallelujah! Well, somebody said, I don't feel any quickening. Well, start thanking him, rejoicing at his word, and it won't be long till you will. Hallelujah! Amen! Hallelujah! Go on, thank thank Him and praise Him. Let Him quicken you. Let Him quicken you. Oh, I rejoice. I rejoice at Thy word. I rejoice at Thy word. I rejoice at Thy word.